attended, did not practice today. Briscoe, not football related, personal. Columbus, did not practice today. Ahead. Fletcher, ankle, did not practice. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Charlie. Start this over again. Okay, Briscoe, non-football injury, did not practice today. Columbus with a concussion. Fletcher with the ankle. Limited was Gomes with the knee. Guys that were getting treatment were Alexander shoulder, Bowen biceps, Garcon foot, Griffin knee, Kerrigan ankle, Montgomery knee, Morgan hand, Trent Williams thigh, and Josh Wilson shoulder.
Tyler, obviously, there's he hasn't had the recovery that you've had with other concussions this year. Is there a concern this is going to be a long-term thing? Do you anticipate having him back for Sunday?
And that's why they have the concussion protocol, the way they have it. You know, he's checked every day, and he was checked today, and doctors didn't feel like he should practice, so they'll go through the process tomorrow, and I can tell you more tomorrow.
Mike, how much more can you shed on Desmond Briscoe's situation right now?
To be honest with you, he was embarrassed. He just missed the flight. So, I'll cost him a little cash.
Flight back? Flight to?
Well, back here. Back That's here. Why he couldn't practice. Okay. Missed the flight.
DJ Gomes, you said you might have a little bit of an update. I know he was the grade 2 sprain.
He was limited.
Yeah.
Practice. That means he practiced some.
For whether you can go Sunday or?
I couldn't tell you right now. Second degree MCL at his position, I can't tell you. But the good sign is he was on the football field today in a limited role, and that's a positive. I've been with a lot of DBs with a second degree MCL that could not practice and missed 2 or 3 days, so that's a positive sign.
Mike, in your experience, how much are quarterbacks defined by the way they play in these games with playoff implications or in playoff games?
Well, to be honest with you, I think at the end of the day, everybody is compared to, you know, winning championships, if you like it or not. Is it fair all the time? Probably not. But how you're going to be judged or ranked will be how you play in those games. Yeah. They define you sometimes. And you like it or not, people will go back to how many championships you won.
Do you think that's fair?
Oh, I think, I don't know if it's fair. You know, sometimes somebody doesn't have the supporting cast and can be a great quarterback, and they just don't have the team they put together. But it really doesn't matter when people look at the, you know, the great quarterbacks. You go back to Super Bowls and championships. I know when I was with John, he did everything he possibly could. He had one goal, and that was to win a championship. And he worked extremely hard. He got it to the end of his career. But I mean, he knew that he was going to be defined on, you know, those games, and you know, he was lucky enough to win a couple.
Coach. Primetime TV, Spanish and English, what do you tell him as a player?
Well, I think Robert's been, not necessarily in a game like this, but, you know, when you prepare for a game, if you're at the collegiate level at Baylor and you're playing in a bowl game, or if you plan over the last 6 weeks, you know, with our football team, you understand how important each game is and how you prepare. You know, I expect our football team to prepare the same way we've practiced the last 6 weeks. Very high level. We understand the importance of the game. But, you know, the attention to detail every day to get yourself ready and get yourself prepared. You know, we're looking for the opportunity to play this weekend. But I don't think you get, there'll be excitement in the air. But we're going to prepare the same way.
Going back to Rich's topic about the quarterbacks, the big games, obviously you need to have talent to play well in those games, but is there something with quarterbacks' personality that maybe allows them to handle these sort of situations more? And if you can talk about Robert in that regard.
Well, like I said, you're usually defined by winning or losing. And at the end of the day, you're going to be compared to the greats. You're going to have to win some big games. We understand that. How Robert, I love the way Robert's handled himself since he's been here. Doesn't handle himself like a rookie. He handles himself like a veteran, the way he prepares, the way he works, the intangibles, how important football is. You know, that's all the things that you look for in a quarterback, and he has all those things. And I'm sure he's excited to be, you know, in this situation right now, looking forward to this opportunity to play, you know, an excellent football team. And we know how far back this rivalry goes. And, you know, this is why you coach the game. This is why you play in a game, for these type of opportunities.
Mike, when you were in Denver, you were in situations similar to this, week 17, winner go home, win the division title. As a coach, how do you lean on those experiences at all when you're preparing this week, whether it be the type of message you give to the team? How do you lean on those prior experiences?
Well, these are the games you'll remember for the rest of your life, you know, when winner go home. I don't care what playoff game, when I look back, you know, as an assistant or as a head coach, you go back and you think about the, you know, great experiences you had or the bad memories you have, because you want to take advantage of these opportunities when they exist. They don't come around every day. And when they do come around, you want to make sure that you play your best and you're prepared. You prepare yourself the best possible way. The attention to details there. You can't make mistakes. The concentration level's got to be there. And, you know, that's the way it usually works during a week, so those guys are ready to go on game time.
Have you seen a lot of growth in Alfred this season?
Alfred?
Yes.
You know, I'll be honest with you, he's been pretty consistent since he's been here. You know, as a rookie coming in, the way he's worked, the way he's prepared, you know, that's one of the reasons in the preseason I thought he was going to be our starting tailback, just the way he ran the football, the knowledge that he had, the way he blocked. He had to prove to me, you know, through the preseason that he could block at a high level to earn to be a three-down back, and he's been able to do that. Well, to be honest with you, we took him in the sixth round, so we're not that smart either. You know, you look back at him and you say, hey, you know, he's a top player in the National Football League, but there's a number of things that we liked about him, and I'm very happy he's on our football team.
Mike, you've been in this league almost 30 years, round Hall of Famers, won Super Bowls. But for a guy like London at 37 to be picking off passes every single week as you guys need him with a bad ankle and whatever else he's got wrong with him, and I know you've seen him go to Pro Bowls the last couple of years, I just wonder how amazed you are as time goes on by this guy.
Well, I'm amazed, as I've told you before. I've never been around a player like him. The way he prepares, the way he works. And the one thing about London, he will never miss a practice, even when he's hurting. And so for him to miss as many practices as he has. Why don't we have somebody? Would you mind? Here, let me have this. To have a guy like London play with the injuries he has had is, to me, unbelievable, because he can't literally walk. And then to see him be able to play on game day and play at that level is something I've never had, because usually the guy's got to practice 1 to 2 days. So he is really hurting, or he would be practicing. He's a guy that hates to give any reps to any other players but himself. So for him to play at that level consistently really says everything about him. The more prepared you are, the more comfortable you feel in a situation. That's what he's done. He's worked extremely hard to prepare himself to play the game of football. And he does it consistently, and he works at it. He's prepared for it. And the more prepared you are, you know, the more comfortable you feel in your own skin.
Mike, can you talk about the way that Robert and Kyle have sort of meshed their talents and their strengths this year, and what's been most gratifying about that process of the two of them growing in this offense?
Well, I think when you've got two guys that are very, very motivated, they want to be the best at what they do. It's almost contagious between all the quarterbacks and all the coaches, but specifically between Kyle and Robert. You know, you see time. You know, you're spending, you know, 14 hours a day together. You're looking at film. You're going over a game plan. You're talking about all the things that you know, go into getting ready for a game. And you just get tighter and tighter. I can go back when I was a coordinator, and the time that you spend with these guys are just off the charts, and they wind up being your best friends over years. And, you know, you get to know them, you got a great feeling for them, and, you're going to war every week. You get the highs and the lows, and, you know, going through those lows are pretty tough. Highs are easy, but it takes a lot to get there, and guys have got to believe in one another.
And how much input has Robert given Kyle about exactly what he'd like to run?
Well, I think you've got to have give and take all the time. You've got to be able to communicate. And, you know, that's when you have a great relationship, when you can communicate with each other, and that's what I think they've done.
Coach, you've been talking a little bit about players elevating their play on huge stages. I'm just curious, from an evaluation standpoint, whether it's interviewing Robert at the combine or talking to potential free agents, is there something you can try to do to gauge which guys step up? Throughout your history, are there really good players who didn't have that extra gear when they needed it in a bigger game?
Well, the things I've always looked for is guys that, number one, were very consistent in the way they practiced, regardless on how much money they made, regardless where they were drafted, that guys that came to work every day and wanted to get better. And if you had a nucleus of a team like that, then you had a chance to improve as a football team. And so you're always looking for the intangibles, guys that will do anything they can to get better every day. And if you get a nucleus of those guys, then you got a chance, once you get to the playoffs, to do something once you get there. And, you know, it's something that's at least the teams that I've been on would have separated the playoff teams and the Super Bowl teams or the runner-up teams is exactly that. You know, been to a few Super Bowls that we've lost. People don't remember the teams that lose. I can promise you that. They only remember the teams that win.
Mike, who do you believe on the roster deserves really strong consideration for the Pro Bowl?
Well, the one thing about the Pro Bowl is I'll take a look at it at the end of the season. I'll take a look at guys that played well enough to be in a Pro Bowl. A lot of times the Pro Bowl, you get nominated when your team has success, and I understand that. And if you can consistently have success, then you have a number of guys that make the Pro Bowl. So I'm hoping we're starting to lean that way now.
You have a list of guys in mind that you believe deserve or have played well enough to make it?
Yeah, I do. But, you know, I don't share it publicly. I don't think it's right, because then all of a sudden you're trying to, you know, you pitch for your guys. But I wouldn't be surprised if we had, you know, two or three guys, maybe four guys that this year would be in the.
Coach, I know that you look at hi. I know that you look at every game as just the next game. It is the last game of the regular season. For everybody in the outside world, it's not just for the division title. It's against the hated Dallas Cowboys. When you look at it from that perspective, what do you think about this game Sunday and that it's been moved to Sunday night? So all eyes are going to be on you guys.
I think, you know, once you're in the National Football League, for any length of time, you understand that, you know, you're gonna be on stage all the time, even if it's not prime time. You know, you're gonna be on TV. So, I think a lot of these veteran players, they get used to it over time, or veteran coaches. But you're not always sure about the younger players, and so you got to make sure that they're grounded and understand that they got to take care of business at hand. Even though it may be national televised Sunday night game, it's got to be normal preparation where guys don't get too high. They play at a certain level.
But it's for all the marbles. I mean, could you write a better script? Trent said you can't write a better script than this.
Well, I'll be honest with you. We've been playing for all the marbles for over the last 6 weeks, and we knew it. You know, we sat down after we were 3-6, and we put the schedule on the board, what we had to do each week, and how we had to concentrate, and what other teams had to do. But we had to take care of our business. So, you know, we've been in that situation for a while, and I think our players are used to it. So hopefully, you know, they can go into this game well prepared and feeling like, you know, we can go get the job done.
Hey, Mike, will Robert have to wear the brace again, and do you feel it impacted his game at all the other day?
Well, you'd have to ask Robert for sure. I know he switched a few braces during the week, and the brace he's wearing now is one he felt the most comfortable with. I think always there's going to be a little difference when you have a brace on. Yeah, I know a number of quarterbacks that I've been with wore braces their whole career. They had to for stability of the knee. But it's something that you get used to. But I think Robert is used to it now, and hopefully it won't affect him at all.
Mike, what did you end up thinking about the game that Maurice Hurt played the other day? And if he does make a second start there, do you think you'll see some improvement, some increase in his comfort level at that position?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I thought he played great. You know, to ask a guy to come in that hasn't played that position you know, in the National Football League, and to play at that level against some pretty good players. I was impressed with him both in the running game and the passing game. So hopefully that helped him, and, you know, he's ready to go if called upon, you know, this Sunday.
Mike, all the concentration and focus from the running back standpoint has been on Alfred, and rightfully so. But can you talk about how Evan has kind of evolved, especially the last couple of weeks, into his role both in pass pro and a couple of key first downs and, of course, the touchdown last week?
Well, Evan is a heck of a player. And like you saw the week before in Cleveland, you know, it was just an easy run for him. Anytime you get a guy that can average 5.5, 6 yards a carry like he did last year, he's got great ability. And when you give him a little hole, you know, he's gonna find the crease. So he's been consistent for us both in the running game and pass protection. He does a great job of running routes. And the game's not too big for him. You know, he handles himself with a lot of poise, a lot of class, and, you know, the kind of guy that you want on your football team, especially as a backup or a guy that, if called upon, can be your starter at any point during the year.
Coach, can you speak to the chess match that goes on with your fellow NFC East opponents and how much you relish that and why have you been so successful at it so far?
Well, you always look, you know, forward to the game, and there's always, you know, it's like a chess match. Sometimes it's, you know, people will change your offensive scheme, defensive schemes, and you're really not quite sure until you get in the heat of battle exactly what's going to happen from a schematic standpoint. But it's a great challenge for our players, and it's a great challenge, obviously, for our coaches to, you know, get our guys ready, because this is what you work for the whole year. This is why you coach in this league. This is why you play in this league. You know, for these type of opportunities, and you got to take advantage of them, and that's hopefully what we'll do.
Has Tyler had a setback, or what's going on with it? I know you had said that maybe he'd be evaluated yesterday evening, but
I don't want to call it a setback, but maybe you do call it a setback. Anytime somebody's not clear, you know, there's some problems with the concussion, and there were some better signs today, but not good enough to practice. So I'm hoping tomorrow that since there has been improvement, that those signs go away and he's cleared to play, but I can't tell you for sure.
Like you said, you didn't want to clarify any of the Pro Bowl guys, but for Lorenzo, it certainly means a lot to him, speaking to him about the Pro Bowl. With Lorenzo making the Pro Bowl, how much do you think he's really worthy of that spot?
If he made the Pro Bowl?
Sure, yeah.
Well, I think this year he's got a legitimate chance to make it, because he's been doing it since I've been here, at least, for the last 2 years. I'm surprised that he has been in the Pro Bowl. But when you can play as consistent as he has over the last couple of years, I would think he would make it, I'll be honest with you. I'll be surprised if he doesn't, because he's been such a dominating force on special teams. Now, since I said that, I would probably put the whammy on him. But coaches eventually see guys that make plays, and he's been doing that this year. And when he's been double team and sometimes triple team, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed for him.
Mike, because the injury to Robert's knee is only a couple, now 3 weeks out, how much are you able to do the things that you most like to do and open up the playbook completely to him, as opposed to maybe last week against the Eagles?
Well, number one, when you do have an LCL, when you have that type of strain, and it's a first degree, you don't want to, the first week back, you don't want to put them into a normal game plan. And you want to protect them a little bit. I still think it was full speed, ready to go. We just chose not to put them in that situation. And I think as every day goes and you see somebody more comfortable and more comfortable, you have a gut feel when you could do everything. And I really felt like I could have done that against Philly. We just chose not to.
Mike, you've said over the last few weeks that you knew it would take some time to rebuild this organization, and I don't think anybody close to the team would disagree that you inherited a bit of a mess when you came in 2 years ago. But when you're going through that actually at the time, you can't say that. You have to sell, I guess, to the players that you think you have a chance to win. How difficult is that for a coach, knowing that I don't have all the pieces, it's going to take some time, but you still want to win in the moment and have the players believing in the moment?
Well, number one, you have to have the right people. And if you have the right people, what I mean by right people, the right character. And you want people to believe in themselves. So if you don't believe in them, who believes in them? But, you know, sometimes you don't have the depth if you do get like we lost, you know, well, last year. If you lose a guy like Trent Williams and Corey Lichtensteiger, then you lose Cooley, then you lose Fred. And, I mean, if you don't have that depth, you really have a hard time competing. Now, sometimes I'm more proud of teams that fight and have a way to stay in games when you don't have maybe the depth and you don't have the talent, but you do have the character. And what you try to do when you build a football team is build some depth, build some character, build some youth. Every veteran player that we got, they know that they're here for a reason. The one thing I think our players know, it doesn't matter if you're a first-round draft choice or a second-round draft choice. It doesn't matter how much money that you've made in free agency getting a signing bonus, that we will play the best players, and we will cut players regardless of what they made or where they were drafted that don't fit into our organization and work hard. When players know that, then I think you got a chance for everybody going in the same direction, and that's what you're hoping for.